Continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn towards the scriptures and reading the story from the Gospel of Luke of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Be reading from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. Before I read, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship, for an opportunity to gather together as a community of faith, to hear your scriptures read and proclaimed, to see the gifts and the talents shared to us through the gift of music from the children and from Caricia and Seth and from congregation as a whole as we sing these hymns. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you would say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Says, after he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter into it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that had been seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Easter story is one that never gets old. We start Holy Week once again with the story of the palms. In this story, we see the creative, risk-taking humility in the life of Jesus. As he is an example for the kind of kingship and kingdom he represented and desired for us. Now the story starts off with Jesus sending two of his disciples to go, quote unquote, borrow a colt. He's kind of going to steal it, but borrowing a valuable animal, a pristine, unbroken young colt, was frowned upon. Even borrowing one, much less stealing one, and was often punished in first century Palestine as seriously as horse thieving was in the Old West. I know y'all like to watch some of those Old West shows. Jesus told the disciples to tell the owner that the Lord needs it. And even as I do believe that the Lord speaks to us and encourages us, I wouldn't recommend you going and doing things that are not right and just saying, the Lord told me to. It's often bad. I don't know how that will look on your police report. And it's often comes up with a bad result for you and for the Christian community as a whole. But in this case, it worked. No doubt our Lord had made arrangements. He knew the area. He knew the streets. He knew the people. He knew the animals. Jesus had walked those streets many times. He probably told his friend that at some point, I'm going to need your colt. And there'll be some folks coming. And you can ask why. And they'll tell you the Lord needs it. And so it happened just as Jesus had set up, had predicted. He sent his disciples to get the animal at the right time. And in this story, we see Jesus inviting people to actively join him on the resurrection story. 300 years before the birth of Christ, most of the known world was under the control of the Greeks. And Greece's Alexander the Great marched his armies across territory after territory, conquering everything insight. He was a warrior who controlled his troops on a horse. The territory of Israel fell to him, as did all of the surrounding countries. Alexander rode on this war horse and came with dazzling brilliance to force feed his Greek culture to the conquered Israelites. The prophet Zechariah earlier in the scriptures told of a different type of king, a different type of warrior, one, a different type of rider, one who would ride on a humble donkey. This, Zechariah said, is the way God's king rides. Jesus and his disciples were observant, devout Jews who knew their scripture. His disciples knew the significance of a different type of king, riding a young colt that has never been ridden before into Jerusalem. It was a statement of his kingship, of his deliverance, of a prophetic fulfillment that we read earlier in the scripture from Zechariah. Jesus and his disciples, I'm sure, remembered these words from Zechariah. And on Palm Sunday, on this day, he demonstrated how he interpreted his role as a Savior and Messiah. His victories in the world would not be won by force, but by humility and patience, by service and sacrifice, by reconciliation and peace. God was an example of a different type of kingship than Alexander the Great. God moves into the street and meets the people. And by riding this colt that no other rider has ridden, Jesus was letting the people know that his kingship was very different. And even as he was this example to the people, sometimes the people miss it. They miss his message. They had their idea of what they were expecting the Savior or the Messiah to look like or be like, and that Jesus didn't meet those expectations. He didn't come as a conqueror on a white horse or gathered appearing in the sky to collect the righteous. But in a world that shouted Hosanna to power and prestige, to wealth and worth, to compromise and complacency, Jesus came riding slowly on a donkey. You know, sometimes I think we can miss the message as well, because Jesus' way of humility is ground to pieces by the fast-paced wheels on which we run. Sometimes I think we can miss the message or the humility that Jesus was an example for, because his way of riding is such a contrast to our concern for elegant and for showy and for supernatural. But then there are moments in which we see that glimpse of Jesus, when we slow down, when we listen, when we hear the donkey's feet clopping along, traveling at a speed in which we can keep up with and understand, when we hear that call, when we hear Jesus entering in humility, we know that there's this real possibility that anyone and everyone can be transformed by the love of Christ, even people like you and me. As Jesus arrives on the donkey, it's with great anticipation and expectation that Jesus' disciples decide to disrobe. They bare their arms and their back. They lay their cloaks, their garments that most physically identify who they are, and they lay them on the roadway to create this cushioned path for the colt, the Savior they had come out to see, is the one they thought was the leader of a new religious movement, quite possibly the long-awaited Messiah. The Gospel of Luke describes that many people had come to see Jesus as if he were a rock star. They had heard the stories, the healings, the feedings, the raising of Lazarus. And until now, Jesus told people to keep quiet and not say anything. But now, the week before Passover, Jesus decides to enter Jerusalem with full publicity to receive acclaim from the crowds and to appear before the world as if he was fulfilling one of the messianic prophecies, an act of defiance and courage. In fairy tales that kings live happily ever after with their queen by their side, in the history books, they die at the hands of the enemy or of a rival, but always self-protectively, not self-sacrificially. That's what Jesus does in this story. He knew what was going to take place, and he self-sacrificially gave himself for the world. Within a week, all the crowds disappear. The acclaim turns into humiliation and mockery. Palm Sunday leads to Good Friday. The honored Jesus is also the one who's humiliated. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, turns to crucify him. He did not meet our standards. In this story, we learn that the way that God saves each and every one of us and the world that we live doesn't look like the way that they or we expect, but he comes. He comes still today. He comes into our city and into the streets and into the homes and into the crowds. Jesus comes if we listen, and he shares in our joys and our sorrows, our pain and our death. He comes to us in the flesh to be with us and to give us courage and strength. He comes not with showiness or with military might or with political power, not with violence that begets more violence, but God comes to us in compassion and in humility and with care and love. Christ chooses his actions. His fate is not some tragic accident or unexpected twist, but Jesus looks destiny into the eyes and chooses to embrace it, even when it includes death. That's courage. That's humility. That's the way of Jesus. Let's finish this morning with a poem. In this poem, I invite you to listen to these words. It says, "Lord, what a parade! The crowd quickly grew. What noise they all made in welcoming you. Hosanna, they shouted, it's David's own son. Hosanna, come save us. God's reign has begun. They welcomed you in, a conquering king. Yet what kind of reign would you really bring? It wasn't a war horse you rode on that day. It was a creature of peace carried you on your way. Did those in the crowd expect something more than one who reached out in love for the poor? Did they think a savior with armies was best? Or did they remember the peaceful are blessed? Lord Jesus, it's true, we give you glad praise, yet living for you will challenge our ways. So may we be open and welcome your reign. Hosanna, come save us, renew us again." Those who follow Jesus don't often know how, where, or what God may lead us to. But we do know who it is, we do know why, and we do know that God always seeks to transform our life. We have to focus on the one who leads us. For the one who leads us knows the way, for he is the way. Our circumstances aren't all the same, but our opportunity to make a difference is. The truth of the crucified and resurrected Savior still moves in the world and into the streets and into our lives. and towards the cross. And so we have a choice. We can remain spectators watching the world move by in warp speed towards things that will never bring peace. Or we can join with Jesus in humility, and we can step into the world. We can go into our neighborhoods. We can move into the streets. We can make a difference in the world that brings world peace and real peace. May we be active participants. May we lay ourselves down in the gifts that God has given us. May we be active participants in the gospel story, giving what we have and doing what we can as God moves into our lives and our lives into the world. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the many ways in which you're at work in our life and the ways in which you call and transform us to be the people who you have called us to be, who you created us to be, people of love and hope and humility. God, may we listen intently to your small voice. May we follow your example, the ways in which you move, live, and have your being. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.